Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts, and everything is right in the world. It is on a Tuesday, the day that we normally do it. It is here at the compound with Tom and Paul in the same room. What the hell has been happening?
As far as they know, I could be somewhere else.
It's so good to see you. It's been a while.
We fooled you before. Yeah, good seeing you.
Man, oh man.
Nice haircut.
Yeah, man. I went summer cut.
You got your ears lowered.
I think it's the shortest ever.
Yeah?
I don't think I've ever had hair this short.
Except for, boom,
even
when you shaved it as a bomb.
Even when I was young buck playing football in high school, I still had hair.
That's what you kind of look like in that, what was that movie with George Clooney? Leatherheads or something? Oh. You could have your little...
Yeah, I think it's a little too short, but I'm kind of, it feels like a bunny's ass, which is nice. And there's something cool about like wearing a hat or coming out of the shower or in the car and you're in the wind and knowing your hair looks exactly the same.
Yeah, that's what I like. Mine is, I'm a borderline mullet. I got like the little thing coming out the back. I got to get a haircut soon.
Well, it's good to be back, and we're good. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for your patience for the last couple of weeks. I know we've been, they haven't been the greatest. They've been a little shortened. I hope they're still fun to listen to, but they've been a little weird. I get that. So thanks for sticking with us, and now everything is right in the world. I am heading out to, and you're coming with me, right?
To
New York and New Jersey?
Yeah, that's not this week.
No, that's the 15th.
Don't confuse the
people. 15th and the 21st. The 21st and the 22nd. Mamaroneck, New York at the Emlyn Theater, and then Newton, New Jersey at the Newton Theater. Spelt like Fig Newton.
And no one seems to know where that is, even the people in New Jersey. It's got to be somewhere.
I know. I didn't even know where it was. And then it's supposed to be a really nice theater. My uncle lives near there, Uncle Richard. And then on the 25th, live Come to Papa at the Village Underground. And then July 13th at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California. And then we just keep going. So go to tompapa.com and see all of those dates. But we're going to finish up strong in June and July. And then things will slow down a little bit. We'll do some live Come to Papa and stuff like that in August. And go to paulhasawebsite.com to find out where Paul will be sans Papa.
Yeah, but so what is the summer strategy? We always have some kind of, like, remember it was... We're doing the Bob Marley summer.
Right.
And then you became Safari Tom a couple summers ago.
True.
Is there a big vacation, or is this like the last family summer together, or?
No, we still have a little ways to go.
I thought they're both out of high school now.
No, not yet.
How many years?
Not yet. Don't push them out yet.
That's a long time.
This summer, everybody has a lot of stuff going on. When we go back, I'm in and out of New York a lot. We'll do the 4th of July at the beach. What I'm really excited about is being here in L.A. for July and August.
Yeah?
Kids have stuff. I've got stuff, all local stuff.
Okay.
So we might do like a short trip, like maybe to Sequoia or like one of those kind of drive-to things. But I'm just, you know, after literally a year and a half of being completely on the road.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to actually, I think I will be in my house at one point for 3 weeks in a row.
Whoa.
Which has not happened in so long.
Yeah, because usually when you're done working and they're out of school, they all want to go somewhere.
Right, exactly, yeah, and then you just keep going. I mean, even in June, I'm doing a lot, but at least it's with them most of the time,
right.
So it doesn't feel like it's going to be too much of a backbreaker. But Yeah, I'm kind of thinking where last year we didn't have it, I think this summer is poolside barbecues.
Yeah.
I think that should be our focus.
That sounds good.
Get some Joe Rogan elk, crank the pool up, and yeah, let's do it LA style. The whole world flies out here to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Why can't we do a little bit of that?
Absolutely. I can do, yeah, I'm in town. Well, when are you leaving again? Because I'm here until we go to New York.
Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I lied. I'm going to Boise, Idaho for one day.
Oh, sweet. I was like just Thursday. In Boise.
Yeah, everyone's great. Just going there for stuff.
People are going to start keep going there because it's one of those cities like you can feel it. It's tipping over. People are starting to go there in numbers.
Is it getting easier to get to?
Yeah, there's like a Delta flight, I think, that's direct.
That usually is the hard part.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty decent. From LA at least. But yeah, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You're going to hit it at such the right time. It's such a nice place to be.
And did you see that's part of our writer's journey? Because, you know, we hit Mark Twain.
Right.
Then this is Hemingway. What's the other one?
Hemingway, Sun Valley, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's the closest you can get to Boise. It's Idaho.
Idaho.
He was a big Idaho guy, hunting and trapping and writing and stuff.
Yeah.
And, what's the... Oh, the other one is... remember O. Henry?
Yeah.
Were you a fan or no?
The candy bar?
No, the writer.
No, I haven't read a lot of O. Henry,
the master of the short story.
Yeah, I remember reading it a little in school, but it's not a guy that I... really know very well at all.
Oh man, fascinating. He was the guy, like, after you read his stuff, you read the back page about his real life, and you're like, holy crap, man, this should be a it was like the Hemingway thing. Like, you read it, like, he survived a plane crash and he drove an ambulance in World War II. It was like, man, this guy was like fascinating. He's a bullfighter, he's a boxer,
born in 1862.
Yes.
And died in 1910.
But made Austin cool. He was the original Austin guy.
Oh, really?
He had like, what's the thing where you cough? It's like tuberculosis or something like that.
Right.
And you get out there and the air supposedly is dry. So he like moved there. And then he was like a writer. He started the Rolling Stone. That's like an homage to him, the Rolling Stone.
Oh, really?
It was a writer's magazine or newspaper. He worked in a bank and he stole money to start the magazine. And when they found out a couple years later, he took off to Honduras, and because there was no they couldn't take him.
Right.
And then he went to prison in Ohio for like a month when he finally came back and wrote all these stories in prison.
Man, what fascinating. A story.
And he was like a pharmacist too, so he was like basically a pharmacist in the prison instead of being like a regular prisoner.
Born in New York City.
Yeah.
What's his big one?
The one about it's the famous thing about when the guy is saving up money.
The gift of the Magi.
Gift of the Magi, that's right.
Wow.
He saves money to buy the woman the comb.
Right.
And then she sells her hair to buy him the whatever he wanted.
Yeah, like the watch.
The watch that he sells to get the the brush or whatever. But they're all like 5-page stories. They're like Johnny Cash songs.
The master of the short story.
But he was like an Austin guy. That was the one of the things I forgot to check when we went there. And he lived in that that super cool, like, Driscoll Hotel that's still there, the one with the ducks that walk across the street.
Well, you know, when we go do the Napa show, I think up there is where Jack London...
Oh, yeah?
My sister was saying she went to visit his home.
Oh, okay.
And it was really cool. That's when I remember I just read White Fang.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think he's up there, so we might be able to see that one.
We did a little of that in San Francisco, right? We found that Kerouac bar that he wrote something in or something like that.
I don't remember that. Maybe we were drunk. I forget what I was going to say.
The werewolves?
No, Jack London.
White Fang.
Oh, Are you doing that gig?
Or Werewolves of London?
Are you doing the San Francisco, the Napa one?
I think you weren't doing that for me for some reason.
July 13th?
Yeah.
We'll have to double check. But that would be nice. So, oh, that's what I wanted to say. And guess who would have been 200 a couple days ago?
Wow. He would have been famous just for that. Who was it?
Walt Whitman.
Ah, Tom's tattoo.
The mighty, mighty Walt Whitman would have been 200 years old.
Leaves of Grass.
Leaves of Grass. A great American writer, a great American patriot for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
None of this phony put a pin on your lapel and still take a big dump on the country and its values. This guy, for the heart and soul of what it is to be a human being in a country founded on freedom, Walt Whitman does the trick. And always because this time of year when we're heading towards the 4th of July and it's summer and nature is exploding, this is the perfect time to read Walt Whitman. So I recommend you open it, go online, Song of the Open Road, and I Sing the Body Electric. Pick whatever. Pick all the stuff he wrote on Lincoln and the Civil War. And as an homage to the great Walt Whitman, who would have been 200 years old. Another guy coming out of New York and New Jersey. So yeah, we'll continue on that mighty tour. Now, but you have been at sea. I slowly realized that you were basically cruising around on a cruise ship. You never really announced it. You just kind of kept contacting and saying, I'm on a boat.
Well, they kept wanting me for more stuff, and I didn't know how long. Remember, like a couple years ago, I did like an Alaska thing for like 2 weeks.
Right. I do remember
that. And I was like prepared for that. And then this one was kind of like, they wanted me to keep going because it was like this whole tour of, it's a place that isn't going to be there. You know, they all talk about all the global warming stuff. It's like you go through Glacier Bay. Like, right. I mean, and I'll show you pictures. Like, we're cruising through and there's like bears just hanging out on the glaciers and all this stuff that you're not going to be able to see in 15, 20 years.
It won't exist. It's such a weird concept.
And there's so much, if you look at, oh yeah, look at a map of Alaska.
Okay.
It is the biggest place, and it's, I was basically in the Yukon, which is like...
With Yukon Cornelius?
Yeah, which is like a place that still isn't very, like, you know, well explored. It's kind of nuts.
It's that it's still out there.
And we bought it, you know, do you know how we got Alaska? Do you remember any of this stuff?
We bought it from the Indians for a dollar.
From Russia.
Oh, that was New York.
And there's this weird, yeah, I was in all these kind of cool places. It was almost like, you know how you go to Maine and there's all these like islands, and when you rode your motorcycle up to like Nova Scotia and there's all this stuff up there.
Yeah.
And there's like no cities or anything, but there's people.
Right. It's kind of untouched because the weather gets so harsh that a lot of people don't go.
Right. But these are all like these gold mines, you know, I don't know if any of it's true, but the, you know, everyone thought there was gold in Alaska. So all these people, like there's all these mining towns. I think even Juneau, the only way to get there is flying. There's no roads because the weather's too crazy, like just because of all the snow and ice and everything. So you can only fly in and out. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And all the boats, you know, that's where all the Alaskan crab boats and Deadliest Catch stuff is. So it's pretty...
Did you have a lot of good food?
Yes, it was really good. I'm trying to think what I told you about the bread or not. But yeah, there's amazing desserts. I got to see all... There was reindeer hot dogs.
Oh no!
There's elk sausage, elk jerky, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, it's wilderness, man. It's like people
great.
Are up there just living the land, and it's like a big deal to get something from like a store or anything like that. It's kind of crazy.
So, did you spend time on the land, or you were mostly on the boat and would just kind of venture into?
You would go like, during the glacier stuff, you're just kind of, like, cruising and looking at all the, you know, there's, like, park rangers on the boat, like, pointing out, like, here's this. And
did you see whales?
Yes.
I saw a lot of good whales when I was in Alaska.
Saw some baby whales.
Nice. Did you kill them and use their oil for your lamp?
No, the baby whales are cute.
Man needs some oil for his lamp.
It just, whenever I know I always say this, but like even when we're in South Dakota and we're just driving for how many hours, it's like, if you were on a horse, why would you keep going up? Like, what would make you want to keep going? Like, do you think there's something else out here?
You just keep going.
Yeah.
It's that human being thing that you need to explore. You need to know.
Yeah.
You need to know, so you go.
But like that northwest, because that's basically where it ended up, was this great city, Victoria, which isn't far from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know, like, there's all these kind of like carved, you know, U.S. Canadian islands and stuff like that. It's gorgeous. All kinds of stuff up there. It's really cool. It's just a part of the country or the world that I've never even really seen or known about. So.
Did you or did you not have sex with an Eskimo?
I think it's illegal, right?
No. It's actually an insult. Yeah. You know, in some cultures, there's a courting ritual and everything, but in that culture, it's an insult to the family.
Yeah.
If you don't bed them upon meeting them.
So you want me to go back in 10 years and then some kid will say pop, pop in a...
Well, I didn't say it to be irresponsible about it. You still practice safe sex, but...
Oh, I thought you wanted me to populate Alaska.
No. I mean, your white people would do very well up there. This year. Not that much sun. Well, that sounds like an exciting trip. Did you have any problem at all with the cruise ship experience? You know, I tend to speak unfavorably. And
I know.
I don't want you to get fired from your employer, but I find those cruise ships to be claustrophobic and insane.
Well, that's the whole thing. There's certain ones that are just based on, like, price and, you know, that kind of thing. So these are the ones that, like, I wouldn't do it if they didn't really take care of you. And it's almost basically like, I'm on a vacation because I'm seeing all these places and I'm only doing like one show a week. So,
oh, wow.
So it's
literally
cool.
One show a week.
Yeah. That's the weird. Remember the thing you're talking about with the, I won't bring it up again, but like, you know, if you do a show like Rogan or something and then you get all this reaction.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's what it feels like to be famous and I don't like it. Like, that's kind of what. The ship is basically like, you know, like if I didn't have a show until Wednesday,
right?
Nobody knows who I am. So I'm like completely under the radar. And then the night I do the show, the next day, like anywhere you go, it's nice, but everyone's just like, hey, hey, that's the comedian.
Right.
Like there's no hiding.
You're now the star of the cruise.
Yeah. And it's like everywhere you go. You're on like your best behavior too, because it's like you can't like, you know, there's no boat TMZ. They're like, get away from me.
Did you or did you not have sex on a boat with a groupie?
No, you can't do that, Tom. That's not professional.
Well, Rolling Stones did it, you know, Led Zeppelin never said no to a groupie. You're there on a boat, you've got all these fans throwing their underwear on the stage at you. What are you supposed to do? You're just a man.
It's like when you were writing the book, Tom, you weren't focused on sex. It was art. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, but you're doing it once a week and then you're just floating around out there.
That's what I mean. I'm writing, working on stuff. It was really like a super, not that, I mean, for you, I can imagine what's going on. 'Cause like you're doing a million things.
Right.
And so this was like a cool thing where I just was like, okay, I'm not going to an airport.
Yeah,
I'm not driving a car. I haven't driven a car in a month. You know, it was like,
that's pretty nice, not having to do any of that.
And it's like that thing where everything is like kind of plotted out for you. Like, here's the schedule.
Right.
And so you don't have to worry about
it. How many people on this boat?
Probably, I don't know, 2,000.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
It is pretty amazing.
Did you hear about that cruise ship that crashed into Venice?
I saw it, yeah. That was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And it's amazing it doesn't happen more often.
That's where I started talking about it in my act. It was off of being in Venice and watching these cruise ships like come into that port and just dump thousands of people onto land for like a second. And it was like, these are going to ruin cruise ship crashes. Let me see. I haven't seen footage on it.
Oh, you want to know one thing, though?
Oh, look, it's just heading right, and everybody's starting to run. This gigantic, that's a big boat.
Yeah, I noticed they, like, blocked out the name of it and stuff.
They did?
Yeah, you can't see it.
It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming straight into the dock. Oof, and it mangles the front of the boat. Good. It's like when you root for the bull when it's bullfighting. But really, I mean, all of these just thousands of people, and they just dump them into the city, and it just crowds, like instant crowds.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that it is one of those things. Like, let's say, you know, there was one place in like Belize or something like that. It was like the cruise ship brings in so much money that like they clean up the whole city, because if there's crime, the cruise ships can't go there. So it's like, right, it is all this big money for like a lot of these places that...
Yeah, but you know what? The money isn't that great, because they dump them out, they buy like some souvenirs and some lunch, and then they get back on the boat and leave. It's not like they're staying in their hotels. It's not like they're, you know, staying there for multiple
days. Not hotels, but like restaurants and excursions. And that's the thing I was going to tell you, is that when I was up there... Guess what happened to the old little flying trips that I told you about in Hawaii to not do, Tom?
Helicopters?
Two planes, seaplanes, crashed.
You never said anything about seaplanes.
What? No, I just told you.
You say don't go on helicopters.
Yes, but anything that flies.
Anything that flies?
Anything that says, hey, you want to fly over, when they dangle you off the parachute, whatever that's called,
and parasailing. Dip you into a volcano?
Don't do parasailing. Don't be dangled in the air by anybody doing anything. Like, would you get up in the helicopter with Bill Burr?
No.
See? So there's a line somewhere.
That sounds like a story that's waiting to be written. Two comedians in a plane. Yeah, people are now, maybe they'll get to ban these stupid cruise ships.
They might. I mean,
there's big movements for it. Like, people have been, you know, like anything, they get just disgusting with it and just go way overboard.
Right.
It's like, you know, one cruise ship a week, all right, fine. But you sit there, I literally was sitting there at dinner, and these giant, massive things, and I was on the roof of a hotel eating dinner. The cruise ship was taller than the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And they just come in and then just unload these thousands of people. It's just...
But it is crazy money, because they wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't. I'm saying for the town. They're paying like... I mean, it's like a... I forget what the thing is. It's like a six-figure docking fee.
Yeah.
So just to bring the... Just for the boat to latch on to the thing... All these cities are making $300,000 or $400,000 a day just for two or three boats, you know.
But you know what? People are coming to Venice no matter what. You know, people are coming to Venice. They're going to come. They're going to spend money. You don't need these big toilets ramming into the island.
No. Like you're saying, it's there's good parts, like the part about the glacier thing. Like, that's something. I would have to take, like, an expedition. I'd never be able to see what I saw up there. So for that kind of stuff, it is cool.
Yes. No, the Alaska cruise always kind of made sense. And the small ones for, like, you know, maybe 100 people that have these, you know, more sound boats. I mean, look at the size of these things. This thing that crashed into Venice, it literally is bigger than the town you grew up in.
But I mean, there's not like a crazy amount of them, because they are super duper expensive. I mean, it's like a giant hotel on the ocean. And it's like, the part that you would like is the old fashioned restaurant experience, because it's like, when you eat, you get like the team of waiters.
Right.
That like, here's your fork and...
Would you have to eat with other people?
No, I got my own. Yeah, the crew, the guys that took care of me were always like, may I suggest this? And I'll show you the menu. It's like amazing seafood. And like,
I always picture on cruises that you, they tell you, hello, Mr. Morrissey, you'll be dining at table 8 today with the Mr. Wordsworth from the coal company in Pittsburgh, and also you'll be dining with the Carnegie family, right? Like, that's what I picture.
I think some people do that. They, like, make friends on the boat and everything like that.
Do you have to dress up? Do you have to put on a...
No, I dress up for the shows, though, because right. It's, like, a nice theater. It's, like, an 800-seat theater.
Right.
So, like, if I'm only doing the one show night, everyone's going to that show. So that's the right. Cool thing is, like, it is kind of like a nice show experience. And then, yeah, I'll eat, you know, I would eat. The last seating is, like, 9. Mm-hmm. So they would go, but it was, like, all these different courses. And, like, a guy comes out with a different fork every course and then
right.
Does the little comb thing on your tablecloth to get the crumbs away. And
very nice.
All that kind of stuff.
Did you or did you not have a romantic evening with a cruise restaurant hostess?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think if there were any. Here's what the one job was: a sommelier. There was a sommelier at every little section.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was your perfect job. The reason you could tell they were a sommelier was because they had this big necklace with like a giant like silver cup.
Ooh.
That was like, must have been solid silver or something. It was kind of like impressive, but uh-huh. That was what they would test the wine with.
Really?
They would drink it out of the cup. That was their special sommelier cup.
I never saw that before.
And so if you complain about the wine or you wanted them to try something, they would tell you what was fancy. Good or what was bad. So there's all these, I didn't do any wine stuff, but that was like another thing that you could do on there if you so choose.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like quite an adventure.
Well, it was a different thing. Like, I don't know if we were talking about this, but it's like, man, remember when, like, we worked on a TV show or we did, like, some tour for, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Like, I want to have more experience of, like, I'm never going to forget, like, I was in Alaska for a month.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want more stuff like that. That's not just, like, were we here the last time we were in Denver? Did we do this, or was that
you do get
9
into,
times ago?
You do get into a bit of a cycle, a little bit of a Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
as the years go by, and you end up kind of wait, was I in Boise just last week? And then the year goes by so quickly, and you're like, I can't believe I'm back here already.
And that's why we're going to Yankees fantasy camp next year.
No, we Billy Crystal.
Oh, wait, are you going to stick around and go to that game or what?
Oh, right. When was that?
It's the Sunday morning after our gig.
Oh, maybe. Hold on. Let's go to the calendar. I went to a Dodger game last week.
No way.
I got beautiful seats from one of my my good friends in show business and sat behind the Mets dugout. And you would have loved it. I have a picture of Cano, our beloved Yankee.
Yeah.
Who went to Seattle and then ended up on the Mets. And he wasn't playing. He's been injured. But he stood on the top step, like right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the leader of that team. It was so cool to see. He was like giving people tips. He was teasing the young guys. He was mocking them when they would make mistakes. He was really like sincerely coaching and cheering for them, and it was a very cool thing. It was like he was the manager in a way.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it was great. We were literally and Dodger Stadium, they know that their team is good.
Yeah.
They're in first place. You know, they got to the World Series last year and didn't punch through, and they're hungry. That place is electric right now.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
I got to there was one great story if you look it up. I think the guy is a pitcher. His name is Smeltzer. I think he's for the Twins, maybe. Or the Twins or the Brewers. One of those, like, Midwest teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, I think Chase Utley or one of those guys. No, it was somebody, one of the stars on the Dodgers. Like, uh-huh. He was a Make-A-Wish kid when he was, like, 10. and he has a picture going to the game and meeting this guy, and then he was playing against him. Like, and the guy had no idea it was the same player. Like,
right.
He's this kid. He's like a rookie, like starting pitcher for like a major league team now.
Oh wow!
Like he overcame this. You know, he had cancer, some kind of cancer or something. But the guy had like no idea, and he just like was blown shocked. Away. It was awesome.
Wow, that's great.
But I thought it was like a Dodger game because they also had Seinfeld night there because Newman threw out the first pitch.
So that's the old timers game is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Your buddy has a box or something?
Yeah, it's like a charity. He's got the suite. Remember when I met Gardner and those guys last
right,
year? So
right.
The old timers game starts at 11, and then the tickets are for the actual game. They play the Astros.
Okay.
At 2. So it's for both things.
Okay. All right, let's do it. Well, how can I say no to that? Let's do a little baseball.
That's a lot of baseball. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's a whole afternoon, and it'll be right after our Fig Newton show.
Right.
All right, that sounds good to me.
It's a New York weekend.
I'm in, baby.
Yeah.
So I'm heading to New York tomorrow.
Ah.
Because I have a show tomorrow night. But then on Saturday, I do Colin Quinn's wedding.
That's right. I forgot when that was.
Yeah, this Saturday.
He's still going through it. He's on CNN right now. He's a big star.
I know. Did you see that special?
He's not going to. I haven't seen CNN. I don't get it. But I'm going to watch it.
Everybody gets CNN.
Is it good?
It's great. Red State, Blue State, it's so perfect right now for what everybody's going through in the country. It's so perfect. It's really, really funny. It's shot really well. I recommend DVR it. Catch it. It's going to run again a couple more times, I think. So great. And then,
He's still going through with it. He hasn't got like a big head over being on CNN.
He is getting married, and I am going to put on my official minister garb, and I will be doing it. I'm continuing to write it. I've been writing this thing for months. I think it's there. I think I'm pretty tight. I think I've got it down.
Do you have any plants in the audience? Are you going to use anybody? Are you going to have
No.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover from the Who's the Man?
There'll be
movie?
Some big time comedians there. There'll be some the regular Comedy Cellar crew. It should be a really good time. I hope I make him proud.
Nice. I'm sure you will.
On Thursday, I've got to go down to City Hall and take care of all my paperwork. Which I have to make sure I bring all the right stuff. I got to go to City Hall and get the license and all to be the official. I got to do that on Thursday, Friday off, Saturday do the wedding, and then it'll be off my plate. I really have been working on this more than I have.
I know.
Anything else? I'm like neglecting.
You want to do well.
I'm neglecting all my other writing because of this stupid wedding.
So wait, but are you going to come back next week before we go to New York?
Yes.
Or no, well, that's 2 weeks, but anyway.
I'll be here. I'm coming back Sunday.
Okay. And so I'll be here all next week.
All right, so we can do it.
And then the week after is when... So are you staying in New York City for all those shows, or are you staying, like, in all these places? I don't know where
Mariner is. I'm all over the place. I can't even start to talk about June and July. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
Between the family and my stuff and the live from here... The podcast, the Yankee games.
Yeah, because my parents are in New York now, too. So I'm going to try to get up there for a day or something before we do the shows.
Cool.
And then, it's going to be busy.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then the 4th of July. Pew, pew.
Did you see? Remember, I was trying to get you back into boxing.
Yes.
Have you heard about... The fight.
I don't know anything about it. I just saw on Instagram a guy got knocked out.
Well, you have to watch it, Tom.
Okay.
Because this was like the Mexican Rocky is what they're calling it. Because this dude, he's from L.A., I think.
Uh-huh.
Ruiz.
Right.
He was like a guy. He fought. Guess where he fought? Within your house, in the last 2 years, he fought at the Sportsman's Lodge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That this guy, dump of a hotel down the street.
It's pretty nice.
Like, yeah, it's okay.
It's got its own feel to it, but yeah, there's a boxing ring out back, and they have boxing there.
That's hilarious. So he
fought there like in 2016.
How old is he?
He's 29.
So he was a long shot.
So this guy, remember the fight that, you know, that Wilder Fury, the two big tall guys fought out here,
right,
and that went the distance. The other guy that has all the belts is this guy, Anthony Joshua,
okay,
who's British, and he's kind of like Lennox Lewis. He's like 6'5". He's like just a huge, he's a specimen, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you were designed a boxer on a video game, that's what this guy is.
Right.
And so this Ruiz guy is so out of shape that when he fights, Gabriel Iglesias says, "Hey, I hope everyone's rooting for me tonight." That's how close he looks to Gabriel Iglesias. So either way, he's like, you know, I don't know, 29-1 or something like that. He's got like a decent record, but he's fighting in these, you know, little casinos and
right,
places like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess like a month ago, this guy pulls out of this title bout against Anthony Joshua in Madison Square Garden, which is exactly like what Rocky was.
Right.
It's like, who is going to take this fight within 4 weeks?
Right.
And of course, this guy's like, I'll do it. And so the fight starts, and I'm watching live because I have this thing, DAZN, which
right,
has all these fights. And so it's like you look at it, and it's like the movie Twins. It's like there's Schwarzenegger, and there's Danny DeVito. And so this guy's like 6'6", like 270.
Jeez.
And then this guy's like, he's not tiny. He's like 6'2", but he's right, like, I don't know, 240, but it's like right, sloppy, man. And you can tell the guy's just like trying to make it a fight. He's like, I can knock this guy out. This looks ugly. I'll just mess with him a little bit, you know, so like a round or two of that. And then all of a sudden he finally just like, okay, I'm going to lay into this guy and knocks him down.
Knocks down the fat guy?
The fat guy. And so from that moment, it's that whole like in the corner, like desperation thing.
Yeah.
This guy, you could just see he's like, I'm going for it. Like, he got up, barely, and Josh was like, I'm going to finish him off. And he takes two, like, huge punches right in the face.
Oof.
And the guy just takes it. Like, you could just, it's like a video game. It's like, he's not going down. And immediately, four punches back, and then knocks the Joshua guy down, which is like Tyson. Like, this guy's never been knocked down.
Oh, wow.
So the Tubby guy knocks this guy down twice in that round. And the guy's just never, I don't know if he got a concussion, but he's just like,
he's wobbly.
He's just like a 6'6" guy. And and they were saying this little guy is small, and it's like if you're tall, you're like a big building, and this guy's just smashing all your windows. That's all he did. So he another four rounds, this guy just outboxed him.
Jeez.
And then finally they just called it, and it was like the biggest upset in boxing
history.
They
called it?
Yeah, it was a 15.
He's just getting beaten up?
15-1 long shot. Yeah.
Jeez.
It was crazy.
Did it look like it should have been called?
Yeah, yeah. This guy was lost. Like,
he was really?
Basically, he knocked him down, and then they did a standing eight count, and he went to the wrong corner, and
right,
he didn't put his mouthpiece back in. He was just kind of like looking around.
Right.
Like, you could tell something was messed up.
Oof.
But he was just like shocked, man. It was crazy.
Jeez.
So it was like the biggest upset. And part of the thing is, when the guy took the fight, his first fight, if he ever won the title, which I'm sure nobody expected,
right,
was it has to be a rematch. And people are saying this Joshua guy might even quit boxing because this is like so devastating to him.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you should see the fight, though. The one round,
yeah,
is like,
I gotta watch. There was somebody on Instagram that posted something where he gets punched out and like his spirit leaves his body and like,
yeah,
goes,
yeah,
on the airplane and goes home. Very funny. Wow.
But yeah, first Mexican heavyweight champ.
Of all time?
So he's in, yeah.
Really?
He lives in L.A., so he's not going to pay for a drink for the rest of his life.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Lives in L.A.? That's amazing. What's his name, Ruiz?
Yeah, can't remember. I don't even know his first name. Yeah, Ruiz.
Wow, that's amazing.
Ruiz Jr.
So how's your training going?
Not bad. I will say this. I worked out every day while I was on there, mostly weights, but I did like 40 minutes of cardio and weights every day.
So wow.
Like, kind of in like tank top shape almost.
Kind of like prison.
Yeah.
You're on that boat like in jail.
That's what I needed, structure, Tom.
Did you or did you not make love with the girl who runs the spa on the boat?
No. Wow. No. I should have done, I feel like I should do a like a foot massage thing or something. Are you still running or no?
Yeah, I went for a run yesterday. I got sick while you were away. I had a I got this weird like coffee flu-y thing, and it was from Mother's Day. First, you know, I don't like to complain about being sick, so especially in the middle of it. But for 2 weeks, I was just like hacking up.
Oh man,
really trying to maintain it. And I had to go do like this movie. I filmed this movie and did this other thing. It was like a whole bunch of stuff I had to get done while I was like fighting off this cold. So I was just barely getting through. So I didn't like get to run or do anything. I couldn't work out, and then came back and started working out again. And it's like starting from scratch.
Yeah,
literally just 2 weeks of not only you're not working out, but your body also fighting something off. And it was just like, oh, all that hard work. I was like really dialed in for a while.
Yeah,
and it was like I wouldn't say all the way back to start, but pretty darn close.
Yeah.
What is happening with iTunes?
I think they're going to close it down.
What does that mean?
That means like you...
Okay, here we go. What happens to your playlists now that Apple is killing iTunes? The nerve.
The nerve.
Well, all my music is there. I've spent so much money on those, on that music my whole life.
That's the whole thing that you don't realize. It's like they're not going to ever... Like,
you're never going to own anything.
Well, I mean, eventually, you know, because that's the thing with music now, it's just that service.
During Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference on Monday, Senior Vice President of Software Engineering, Craig Federighi, announced the end of iTunes, though not in so many words. He confirmed reports from late last week that set off a wave of eulogies for one of the 2000s most transformative platforms. Like, we use iTunes to upload our podcast. When users update their operating system to Mac OS Catalina, which I'm being asked to do, which will be released this fall, the standalone iTunes app will be no more. After jokingly announcing that iTunes would include a calendar function to acknowledge how bloated the platform has become, Federighi said, the future of iTunes is not one app, but three. Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, and Apple TV. Wow, look how big podcasts have come.
Well, but
wow.
I mean, that's the thing that, especially being out, like basically what I had to do was everything I needed had to be on my computer.
Yeah.
There's no downloading out on a boat. So, like, you realize how little you have download on your computer because everything's on the cloud.
When users update their operating system, users who have spent the better part of two decades curating iTunes playlists with songs not available on Spotify have little to fear. According to a company spokesperson, when you update to Catalina, your iTunes songs and playlists will automatically transfer to Apple Music, your podcasts to Apple Podcasts, and your videos to Apple TV. Oh, well, that's not so bad.
And that's why I'm so glad I never bought any movies.
Yeah,
I have like 5 movies. Because what eventually is going to happen, they're going to just make it like a monthly service. You know, it's going to be like $20 a month. You can watch anything on.
Yeah, they're going to go up against. They're really trying to like position themselves to take on Netflix.
It's the perfect thing. Everybody's got Apple TV for some reason. So it's like you might as well just have... I would pay for all that stuff. Like I did... I got Stars because all the stuff was so good. Like all the movies were so much better than Netflix.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen anything good on Netflix in like a month.
I pay so many subscriptions for... you know what I mean? It's like everything is...
Well, you have regular TV too. Like you're paying a big cable bill still.
Yeah, because I watch
sports
the
and
Yankees.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just have like MLB, that MLB app.
Right.
So I don't necessarily need it because that's on Apple TV too.
So I guess I don't need it.
I mean.
What about Turner Classic Movies?
I think you can get that on Sling TV. It's too complicated.
It is. It's just too much.
But that's why the internet's like $80 a month now, because nobody has TV. They should just give it to you for free.
Gee, what a mess. Well, at least I can keep my songs. I hate when I get on a flight and have to go someplace and realize, oh, I haven't downloaded the music.
Yeah.
So you can't play.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Out there, like, your phone is like, it has none of the storage that you used to have. Like, these are really small now.
What do you mean?
Like the biggest phone is like 128 gigs or something. It used to be like way more.
Because it used to hold, right. Now it's all cloud.
And now everything's on the cloud, which is great if you have great Wi-Fi all the time. But,
right. Yeah, you know. I know, which apparently only people under the age of 16 get.
Yeah.
For some reason, kids have no problem being able to watch and stream everything.
Right.
And I'm constantly in a mess.
But you don't pay for the Apple Music per month?
I do.
Yeah, so you can listen
that,
to anything.
I pay Spotify, I pay Hulu, I pay Netflix, I pay DirecTV. Anything else?
Well, if you have DirecTV, you should basically have like subscriptions to all your stuff.
Yeah, to like FX and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I pay for all of it.
Yeah, that's what.
Because somebody
people.
Has like one kid has one thing she watches on Hulu, and someone has stuff they watch on Netflix, and someone has the music that my kids like Spotify. I like Apple Music.
Yeah.
So, whatever someone's habit, we end up paying a subscription. I would I should add it up. It must be obscene. It really must be obscene.
Well, the big one that everyone did is like, okay, if cable is like $140, and Netflix is $10. Like, how much of that rest of that stuff do we need?
Right. Exactly. Until you get a show on the Food Network and you're like, I want to see it. So silly. The real upsetting part with my travels is my bread baking. I might actually have to bring some of my starter with me because I'm going to be gone so long.
Yeah. So you're going to be a weird guy with a Tupperware?
I think so.
Thing?
I really think I might.
Well, on the, you know, it's funny. You should buy a seat for it, and then
and have its own little thing. All right. Well, this was good, and we'll be able to rock it again next week, which is very exciting.
Yeah, have fun on the road.
Like I said, go to tompapa.com and look up all of our crazy tour dates. We're coming to Newton and Mamaroneck, and live come to Papa. I can't get you into the Colin Quinn wedding, although I would love for you to be able to attend. I hope somebody gets some video of it. maybe we'll post that baby up. And thanks to all our Patreon subscribers, and we will be posting your extra bonus material right after this. Everybody, enjoy your life.